Welcome to the Lean Health Tech Podcast, where industry professionals discuss trends and topics where efficiency, healthcare, and technology meet. My name is Taryn Shipley, and I'm your host. Our guest speaker today is Laura DeMuth. Laura is the Senior Vice President of Patient Care and Head of Medical at Curology. Laura has over two decades of experience as a nurse, nurse practitioner, and healthcare executive. Thanks for joining us, Laura.
Thanks for having me, Taryn. I'm excited to be here.
Today's topic is navigating career pivots in healthcare. So Laura, tell me about how you became an expert in this area and what are some signs that someone might be ready to pivot away from providing hands-on clinical care?
Yes, this is such a great question, and it's a topic that's so near and dear to my heart. So I began my career several years ago in bedside nursing, traditional bedside nursing, got my master's degree and became a nurse practitioner. So then pivoted away from inpatient care into outpatient care. And both of those I quickly found did not energize me in the way that I really wanted to. I wasn't able to have the impact I was hoping to have on the healthcare system. And I moved from one side of the coast of our country to the other side. And I'm on the West Coast now. And when I moved out here, I was introduced to the world of biotech and startups and in ways in which clinicians could contribute in ways that I never thought were possible. You know, going in nursing school, I never thought that I'd be working from home and traveling for work and like doing the things that I'm doing. So I pivoted away into digital health. So I work for a company, like you mentioned, called Curology. Curology is telehealth dermatology. So we see patients mostly asynchronously via store and forward technology. And then in the certain states that we have to, we do audio care as well to establish that patient-provider relationship. And we treat common conditions such as acne and anti-aging, hyperpigmentation, common dermatologic conditions that can be easily diagnosed and treated via telehealth, and then also treated well with combination topical therapy. We also have pharmacies as a part of our business as well that custom compound topical formulations that we shipped directly to patients. And when I pivoted into digital health, it was as a clinician. So I would see typical Series A startup, you know, you wear all the hats. And so we'd see patients and learn about the business in the mornings with the other clinicians. And then at the end of the, you know, after lunch, we'd walk across our small office and we'd go help pack boxes and things like that. So fast forward almost 10 years, I've been there almost 10 years, very distributed workforce, multiple sites, you know, hundreds of thousands of patients, millions of patients that we've actually seen over the last 10 years. And I have grown in my own role from seeing patients providing digital healthcare to becoming a leader of those that do that and then contributing to the business in other ways. So such heart and passion for clinicians of any kind that feel a pull away from the traditional settings and looking at the draw of VC-backed healthcare or PE-backed or whatever kind of companies they're interested in and getting involved. And I also coach clinicians as well. So I work with clinicians who are looking to make that jump or who are curious about it or nervous about it in any kind of way. And it's becoming so much more common as y'all can imagine over the last few years.
When clinicians think about moving into a non-patient care role, they feel almost a sense of guilt. Like, is it wrong for me to have all of these skills and to choose to not use them, especially right now with a clinician shortage? So did you experience any of that guilt, and how can folks reframe their mindset so it's not so focused on guilt, because it's a good thing to, you know, do something that energizes you?
Totally. It's such a great question. And we have such a, like, especially the bedside nursing shortage is really what we see most commonly in the news. And so how can I, me as a nurse, be sitting here talking to you about pulling people away from those settings when we have so much need for those patients who are really in need? Speaking for myself personally first, I did feel a little bit of guilt. I was like, what am I really doing? This was 2015. The pandemic hadn't happened yet. So telehealth was kind of this mystery. So my colleagues that I went to school with and had done nursing and medicine with for many years were like, what are you doing? Like, what are you going to, you're wearing flip-flops to the office? What is this? And then fast forward, of course, we've all lived through a global pandemic. We've seen the pendulum swing to telehealth and kind of come back to a hybrid care model now. But I definitely felt that guilt. And then it quickly subsided because I love so much about what I do and now love helping others to do that as well. But I think so burnout is very common, and moral injury also is how it's referred to in some cases as well. But when clinicians are being worked the way that they are in those inpatient settings, it can be damaging to their own health. And what good are they to patients if they can't take care of themselves or their families and other things? So I actually think that the rise of digital health and non-traditional spaces for clinicians has the potential, I don't think it's done it yet, but has the potential to help this problem, because by giving a nurse or an NP or a PA or a physician a couple of days a week from home to see patients virtually. And then they're in the clinic or in the hospital a few other days. Having that kind of hybrid model has the potential to reduce burnout, to reduce stress, because it gives them back some control over their own lives and then helps put clinicians in the right mindset back in those places where we really need them. So I don't work, full disclosure, I don't work hybrid. I'm all remote now, but I can see where this has a place that could really help actually the problem that we're all reading about and lots of companies are trying to solve.
Yeah. So once someone has decided, okay, I'm ready to get away from the hands-on patient care, what's the next step? Like, where do you start? Because so many people think all I know is to care for patients. I have no, I'm doing quotes, air quotes, business skills, but yeah. How can those hands-on patient care skills translate into the business world and the tech world?
Yeah, so much so, more so. And when I work with clinicians and those who work within curology with me as well, who hold other types of leadership roles, it's really eye-opening when you get into the nuts and bolts of it, how many parallels there are with practicing medicine or doing nursing or other kinds of clinical skills and then transitioning into a more corporate environment or startup environment. So I'd say if you're a clinician who's curious, right, about learning about the health tech world or just, you know, watching companies do really cool things and thinking, how can I get a piece of that? What I would advise is think about the areas of medicine, either where you've practiced and where you feel competent in, or areas of medicine where you feel like, gosh, that's so cool and I really want to learn more about it. For example, menopause right now, menopause care is really hot, no pun intended. And a lot of us maybe have seen menopausal patients in our practices years ago, but menopause experts, if you will, are not as common, but you know, there's not to say that we couldn't be. So I would say the world is your oyster and can be really overwhelming as you're looking at all these different options to provide digital healthcare or go into a non-traditional role. But think about what really energizes you. Because if you're thinking about making that pivot because you are burned out, or you are a new parent or wanting to expand your family or have any other reasons, there's a million reasons why someone would want to pivot away. You don't want to accidentally get yourself into another situation where you're not fulfilled professionally and then personally as well. And then as far as those skills go, so think about what you're doing as a physician or an NP or PA. You are managing every single day. You have, say, a panel of 30 patients, you know, in an internal med setting, or 20, 15, if it's a specialty. You are managing the care of each one, and they are putting their trust in you. So you are a leader, whether you have direct reports in a clinic setting, you probably don't, unless you're a supervisor or a medical director or something like that, but you have management skills. So that's one small example. If you are a clinician in a medical practice or a group practice, you likely have some kind of visibility into the business plans, you know, or the financial health of your particular site, because so much hinges on that, the funding that flows back into your clinics for supply, for staff and things like that. You've probably had exposure to that. And if you're still in that setting and you're thinking about in the future leaning out of that setting, maybe lean in and pay a little bit more attention to those, you know, staff meetings and business meetings now, so you can pick up those little pieces. And then I would also say, you know, there's a lot of ways to learn these skills. You don't need an MBA. It's helpful, but you don't need it. There's a lot of great resources, and I'm happy to, Taryn, after the show, share a few that I like to share for clinicians who are looking to expand that skill set. We're all continuous learners by trade. I think many people who go into health tech are clinicians or not. And so you want to be able to learn all the things and do all the things well. And so there's been businesses that have proliferated because of that to help people like myself and other clinicians who want to give back in other ways. So I'd say it can be a little daunting, but there's a lot of resources out there. And there's a lot of us who have done it who are here to help others transition out as well.
Do you ever miss the hands-on patient care?
Me particularly, no, I don't. However, I have had, you know, I've managed dozens and dozens of clinicians at Curology over the past 10 years, and some of them have and have said, I love this company so much, but actually I want to go back and into orthosurg or something like that and do that type of care. So there's definitely clinicians who have pivoted out and then pivoted back in, whether it's full-time or like we mentioned, that model of, okay, maybe there's a world where we can normalize the 2 days a week at home, 3 days a week in clinic. But me particularly, no, I love being able to exercise my brain in different ways, and I can wear my clinical hat and my business hat and sometimes those two hats at the same time to have an impact that I like to call more multiplied than I guess that one-on-one patient provider relationship that I had when I practiced medicine in person.
Are there specific roles or titles which you would suggest are easier to transition into? If you're coming out of, you know, direct patient care, you look on LinkedIn, that job search, what are the key words?
Yes, that's a great question. So if you've got that narrowed down to like, okay, I know that I love women's health or I love GI or something like that, and you can start to look at those companies that have funding or are putting out interesting articles and PR materials on LinkedIn. So you start to learn about those businesses and then looking at their career pages to see what's available. So if you're interested in a clinical role where you're providing, still providing healthcare services directly, albeit virtual, those are the same titles. So registered nurses, nurse practitioners, there's physical therapists, occupational therapists, social workers, you name it. There's a lot of companies that will hire folks like that to do the direct care. And then if you're interested in, that's a good precursor, I would say, to a non-traditional role, which what I would classify as more of like a leadership role or a role that maybe doesn't even report into a clinical leader. So for example, PMs or product managers, clinical product managers are an example as well. Researchers. So if you have a PhD, if you're working in psychology or any of those types of industries or companies, there's a lot of companies in behavioral health that are looking for research help as well. And then I would also look at leadership roles that have any kind of titles like lead or manager. Clinical operations is huge as well. Who better to know how clinicians operate than a clinician themselves? And so I think you're well positioned if you're any kind of clinician or scientific professional to know how your particular industry operates. So operations roles are huge. And then innovation is another role that I think is really interesting, and that's titled differently in different places. But for virtual health companies that are looking to expand their services, they're looking to expand their impact and their footprint. Again, who better to advise on those types of things than experts who have been doing that, all along? I will also say it takes a certain type of individual to be successful in those environments. And some of those skills can be learned, but the traditional hierarchy of medicine doesn't really exist in virtual health companies, at least in my experience. So you're coming to the table, all, credentials aside, you're coming to a collaborative, usually virtual table to say, we've got this big hairy problem. How are we going to come together from all of our different backgrounds and solve it? So with engineers, with designers, with people from legal and finance and all walks of industry life that a traditional clinician doesn't get exposure to in their day-to-day. So that's another thing to be mindful of, and actually a really exciting thing, I think, in some cases.
What was your biggest challenge when you transitioned? Like something that you weren't expecting, or maybe a new skill set that you had to learn on the fly?
I would definitely say the financial pieces, especially being in a VC-backed business, learning about funding rounds, learning about, investing and things like that. And then just the nuts and bolts of how that works. And again, it's a skill that can be taught. It's not something that you need to spend decades of your life in school to learn. There's a lot of resources out there. And then once you learn those basic mechanics, especially for smaller stage companies, or what I will say, companies that are outside of the traditional healthcare sector, not academia or large healthcare systems, where the revenue is not quite as large. If you can understand how those nuts and bolts work and how you as a clinician plug in, whether it be in a non-traditional role like a business role or a virtual health clinician, knowing where you can have impact on the business, I think is a really good awareness point. And took me a little bit to figure out, okay, I'm responsible for this. So how do I learn it and become an expert in it?
I would be amiss to not address the golden handcuffs issue. Sometimes physicians say, I, invested 10 plus years of my life. I'm $200,000 in debt. I have to stay in hands-on clinical medicine because I can't afford to move to tech or business. So how do you balance that happiness level versus the financial responsibility? I mean, what's your response to that?
That's a really big issue, I think, for sure, because especially when you're joining an early stage company, a seed, pre-seed, Series A, something like that, they don't have the deep pockets to be able to pay those types of salaries. So I would say if you are someone who feels those golden handcuffs, definitely weigh the pros and cons and maybe dip your toes in as an advisor or mentor first, and not if you don't want to leave your traditional role right away. And then you can kind of plan that out over time as to when it would be the right time for you to step away. But I will also say, I mean, JAMA, the Journal of the American Medical Association, had an article in 2023. I was just talking about with some colleagues recently on burnout, physician specific. So all of their credentials were not represented, of course, but you can extrapolate those results to others. And they found the highest levels of burnout in female physicians and physicians that had experience of 10 years or less. So those are those newer physicians. And those are the ones, particularly where the shortages are, internal medicine, primary care, family medicine, pediatrics, the specialties that traditionally don't pay as well as a specialty role, you know, residency rates are on the decline there. And then you're seeing that those physicians who are in practice are not happy and they're burnt out. They're going to leave anyway. So it really is, I don't know that they feel the golden handcuffs maybe as much as the older generation clinicians do. And my hope, I guess, and anecdotally from speaking with a lot of colleagues in the health tech industry, is that they feel compelled to do care a bit differently than they've seen and how they've been raised within the system. I would say it's definitely a valid thing that everyone grapples with, and everyone has to make a decision personally with what they want to do with their 40 plus hours of professional time, you know, per week. But I think there's ways in which you can explore more of a hybridish model in the beginning before fully jumping ship, I will say.
Are there any other pieces of advice that you'd like to give folks thinking about making the switch?
I think, and I've talked to a lot of clinicians over the years too, and interviewing a lot of them as well, a lot of their number one things, you know, I say to them, why do you consider telehealth? Got this really great career that you've worked. What's of value to you right now? And they express that burnout. They express that they are sick of going into the office all the time or being on call. And the number one thing I say back to them at that is, yes, you'll be working from home in this role. And yes, there won't be calls, so to speak. But there is definitely a level of burnout that can exist within telehealth or virtual care. And I think a lot of it has to do with the way that we're always on, especially virtual care models that are open a bit more 24/7. You could feel compelled to work maybe even more hours than you're working in clinic now, albeit it looks differently. But I always advise people who are looking to jump ship to really take a step back and look at personal values, professional values before making any quick decisions, because you could easily get yourself into another type of burnout, albeit differently, in the virtual health sector as well. So I think that's definitely a big one for people to consider.
Thank you so much for sharing your insight around navigating career pivots in healthcare.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for the conversation, Taryn.
This concludes today's Lean Health Tech podcast. If you're a listener and would like to hear a certain topic covered in future episodes, please let me know by leaving a review or comment. Thanks for joining, and be sure to check out the next episode.